Good evening, folks. It's Friday, February 2nd. Guess what year? 2007. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. RBN lives. Both on shortwave and on the internet at republicbroadcasting.org. If you haven't sent out your emails and your postcards to your friends telling them that RBN is now found on the internet at republicbroadcasting.org, you need to do that. While you're at it, you might think about making a contribution to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because it is your support that helps keep this network alive. Your financial support and your prayers and your goodwill. Speaking of financial support keeping this network alive, my sponsor, Headache Stay Gone, is a big advertiser in this network, and they have a big product that you need to check out. It is the all-natural cure for headaches. You can get 60 capsules by just calling the Republic Broadcasting Network, calling Headache Stay Gone at their toll-free number at 1-800-327-0727. Request a bottle, try it out. If you're happy with it, pay the bill. If not, just send it back. Tell them you're not satisfied, but I predict you will be, because everybody I know that's tried it out finds it to be a very good product. Well, welcome back. It is Friday. We are wrapping up another week, and of course, this is the first, the first full day since I celebrated my first anniversary here in the network yesterday. Tonight, we're going to have open phones. I'm going to make a few comments before we begin. But open phones, the number here is 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Well, I got a very interesting communication from one of our listeners who sent me an image from the recent CNN broadcast interviewing, I hate to say his name, but I'm going to say it, Christopher Boleyn, former colleague of mine. He was interviewed by CNN on the question of whether or not, basically what the issue was how terrible it is that there are some people who are saying that 911 was anything other than what the U.S. government said it was, and in particular those who dare to say that the Mossad was behind it or perhaps involved in some way. Mr. Boleyn, or Kingster Balloon, as we now call him at American Free Press, was interviewed, or actually shown just briefly, largely denying that he was an anti-Semite, and also saying in passing that he thought there were Mossad connections to the crime. But, of course, you know, the whole broadcast, the whole interview was largely to defame those who dare to say that the Mossad may have been involved. I actually listened to a tape of the actual broadcast that Boleyn's been bouncing around on the internet, and it's very interesting. I would have to say, having listened to it, that Mr. Boleyn is lucky that they didn't broadcast the whole interview with him, because I'm afraid that so much of what he talked about would have gone over the heads of most people that they wouldn't even understand what he was talking about. Getting bogged down in these details and all sorts of arcane science that I'm not even sure Mr. Boleyn understands. And as you know, Professor Stephen Jones and his colleagues have raised questions about some of these stories that Boleyn has been promoting. But I was delighted to find out that CNN had actually shown some of my writing on the topic, and I want to bring it up tonight because it ties into something that we've been talking about here the last several days, the last week in this program. So stay tuned. We'll talk a little bit about 911, and then we'll go to the phone. Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington.
Love. Learn about the new discoveries of MSP Research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP Research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420 and see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420 or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Collins, Piper here, coming to you from Washington, D.C., the headquarters of American Free Press. But I'm here on the Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org. RBN lives. Spread the word. Well, folks, before the break, I was mentioning the fact that CNN had broadcast a couple snippets of a rather, what I perceive to be uneventful and largely confusing interview they conducted with Christopher Boleyn regarding his views about 911. And as I mentioned, it appears as though his vision of what happened, vision, maybe I should say hallucination, his hallucination of what happened is getting more and more complicated by the day. And that's precisely the kind of thing that when you try to present something so complicated, it can in fact be, it can put people to sleep, number one. It can prove unconvincing because people just don't understand what the hell you're talking about. Thirdly, when you combine a lot of scientific jibber-jabber, which is what in fact came across on this interview, it left me feeling cold. It was like, what's he talking about? So maybe, you know, there have been those who've speculated that this is all part of an attempt to actually discredit the idea that the Mossad was involved, because, you know, you point at someone and say, well, listen to that crazy stuff he's talking about. You know, that's the kind of people who believe the Mossad did 911. Now, of course, On the other hand, when we consider the fact that Berlin's partners, Huff, Schmidt, and Smith, have been saying for the last several years that we should be suspicious of anyone who gets promoted by the mass media, such as CNN, and then lo and behold, out of all the independent researchers who've been writing about 9-1-1, and out of all the people who've been saying that the Mossad was behind it, 9-1-1, Mossad was behind 9-1-1, then we have CNN going to Christopher Berlin and giving him the publicity. Just at the same time, of course, you know, it just strikes me as kind of a little odd. But, you know, there are some simple explanations as to what could have happened on 9-1-1 involving the Mossad. And as I say, I was delighted to find out that in that episode of CNN, they displayed they actually displayed the website of Rents.com, Jeff Rents's website, and they showed an article that I had written for American Free Press, which was later published in Arab News in Saudi Arabia, an English-language publication in Saudi Arabia. They didn't say, of course, Michael Collins Piper of American Free Press wrote it. They just flashed the image on the screen. But it's interesting about that article. I know many of you have probably not read it or even heard about it. And one of the reasons why is because it's a rather simple article which provides a relatively simple possible explanation as to how the Mossad carried off 9-1-1 without all sorts of scientific trickery, without all sorts of, you know, remote control planes, and et cetera, et cetera. And it's very interesting because after my article was picked up by Arab News, I didn't have anything to do with sending it to them. One of their correspondents picked it up, and then it was republished over there. After that article was published, the U.S. government went to the Saudi government and demanded that the Saudis officially renounce that article. They demanded that the Saudis say, no, we believe that they were Saudis on those planes on 9-1-1. Well, I'm going to outline that article for you tonight, and I want you to think about it. Put aside everything else you've heard about what happened on 9-1-1, and just consider the possibility that those hijackers weren't even really Arabs. Yes, that's exactly what I said, folks. I raised the question as to whether Israeli agents would carry out a suicide mission, and one that they knew could cost American Jewish lives. And we do know that American Jews died on 9-1-1. Well, folks, back in 1986, Victor Vancier, who was the leader of the Terrorist Jewish Defense League, said this, quoted by the Village Voice. He said, "If you think the Shiites in Lebanon are capable of fantastic acts of suicidal terrorism, the Jewish underground will strike targets that will make Americans gasp. How could Jews do such things?" Vancier said his allies were desperate people who don't care if they live or die. Now, don't forget when 9-1-1 happened. It happened at a time when there was an international conference on racism in South Africa, in which the primary target of those who were in attendance were the Israelis. People from all over the world were coming there and condemning Israel's actions against the Palestinians during the Second Intifada. Now, I put forth this theory that maybe those Middle Eastern men who were described by the passengers on the airlines, they weren't Arabs at all. Now, people say, oh, Jewish suicide bombers, that's crazy. But the truth is, if you look into the literature, as I did, you will find there is a suicide tradition. It's a much revered part of Jewish history. Interesting. Israeli Mossad officer said that Israeli Mossad officer Victor Ostrovsky, in his book, The Other Side of Deception, described one 1989 venture where the participants were all volunteers who were told there was effectively no possibility of rescue should they be caught. What is that, folks? That's a suicide mission, folks. But what about that Arabic language that's been heard, or the official government said Arabic language was heard on one airplane's black box? Well, you know, we're so supposed to believe that that was one of the Arab hijackers. But in March 1979, the CIA put out an assessment entitled Israel, Foreign Intelligence and Security Services, and it reported that it's been a longstanding policy for Israeli intelligence to disguise Jews as Arabs. They wrote, "One of the established goals of the intelligence and security services of Israel is that each officer be fluent in Arabic. A 9-month intensive Arabic language course is given annually. As further training, these Mossad officers work in Israeli-controlled Arab lands for 2 years to sharpen their language skills. Many Israelis have come from Arab countries where they were born and educated and appear more Arab than Israeli." Listen to this, folks. "By forging passports and identity documents of Arab and Western countries and providing sound background legends and cover, Mossad has successfully sent into Egypt and other Arab countries Israelis disguised and documented as Arabs or citizens of European countries. These persons are also useful for their ability to pass completely for a citizen of the nation in question." This is the CIA talking, folks. "The Israeli talent for counterfeiting or forging foreign passports and documents ably supports the agent's authenticity." Jack Anderson, you know who he is. He just died and went to hell. He was a longtime supporter of Israel, but in his column he wrote, "Israeli agents, immigrants whose families had lived in Arab lands for generations, have a perfect knowledge of Arab dialects and customs. They have been able to infiltrate Arab governments with ease." Yossi Melman, Israeli writer, writing in Haaretz in 1998, said that Shin Bet agents who worked undercover in the Israeli-Arab sector in the 1950s went as far as to marry Muslim women and have children with them in an attempt to continue their mission without raising suspicion. Well, now, as we all know, folks, there's some doubts as to whether those guys who were on the planes, said to be on the planes, were actually the guys who were on the planes. In other words, some of those guys are reported to still be alive, but their identities were co-opted by other people, their names, their backgrounds. And they're the people who died on those planes, if indeed they were on those planes. I tend to believe there were. A lot of people say there were no planes at all. A lot of people say there were holograms. I don't know what to make of that, but I'm trying to look at it in the most simplistic way possible that could explain how Israel could have carried it off. And, of course, in the New Yorker, on October 8, 2001, right after September 11th, anti-Zionist Jewish writer Seymour Hersh wrote, "Many of the investigators believe that some of the initial clues about the terrorist identities and preparations, such as flight manuals, were meant to be found. A former high-level intelligence official told me, quote, whatever trail was left deliberately for the FBI to chase." So, you know, the question I raise is, why Arabs? Why would Arabs plant evidence implicating their own? Nor, of course, have we ever met the person who supposedly was the big hero who tipped off the FBI where the hijacker's car, that is Muhammad Atta's car, conveniently filled with this evidence, was parked. And now we come to this question as to whether or not the Israelis would be willing to kill Jews if it meant assuring Israel's survival. Now, this is a very controversial issue here because, you know, there's this phony story out there that 4,000 Jews and or 4,000 Israelis, I should say 4,000 Israelis or 4,000 Jews were warned not to come to the Trade Center on September 11th. And I heard Christopher Belin stumbling over this issue. You know, saying, oh, of course, yes, American Jews died, but maybe the Israelis were tipped off through Hebrew language messages from Odigo, etc. Well, you know, the point is this, you know, people don't understand, they don't consider the possibility that, in fact, the Israelis would consider American Jews expendable if it meant guaranteeing Israel's survival. Well, bear in mind that Kahane, who was the founder of the American Jewish Defense League, he is a spiritual mentor of those fundamentalists who supported Ariel Sharon and Benjamin Netanyahu and these hardline Israelis who are the hardline Zionists, the ones who are bound and determined to give up nothing and take everything. When we come back, we'll talk about Meir Kahane and some of his like-minded thinkers in Israel and how that could tie into 911. Stay tuned, folks. A lot more. And then we'll go to your calls, if indeed you have a call to make. Number here is 800-313-9443.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Collins Piper here on the Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org. I am here courtesy of Headaches Day Gone, the all-natural cure for headaches. I haven't had a headache in a couple weeks, folks. Might have something to do with the fact I've been taking Headaches Day Gone. You should try it out yourself. Well, I'm going to be giving some people a headache here tonight by continuing to discuss what I'm talking about, the possibility that those Arabs on those planes on 9-1-1 were not Arabs. We talked about the fact that hardline Zionists such as Rabbi Meir Kahane, who was a spiritual godfather for many of the Likud movement in Israel, the hardline so-called right wing in Israel, have this attitude toward Western Jews that they are actually in some respects a threat to Israel. Rabbi Kahane actually once called for killing what he called Hellenist, spiritually sick Jews who threaten the existence of Judaism. As Hellenists, as he called them, were the Western-oriented Jews. And that would include those Jews who lived in Long Island and worked in slick offices in the World Trade Center rather than kibbutzing in Israel. You know, Israeli journalist Yair Koltler wrote in his book that Kahane said the adoption of foreign non-Jewish concepts by a Jewish state opens the door to a national tragedy. Kahane wanted all Jews to leave the United States, to get out of the United States and get out of Western countries and go home to Israel. And you know what the CIA said about this view, this widely held view among the Likudniks in Israel? He said, or they said that it represented the aggressively ideological nature of Zionism. Now, bear in mind that Meir Kahane, although he was presented in the mass media as some sort of extremist, Robert Friedman, an American Jewish writer who was a very big critic of Zionism, he said all along that high-ranking members of the Mossad were directing Kahane, and that the central player behind the Kahane operations was Yitzhak Shamir, who was at one point Prime Minister of Israel, and who was himself an outspoken critic of America. Now, this is all the more interesting because Israeli writer Yossi Klein Halevi wrote in the New Republic that that after 9/11, there were many Jews who started to feel that maybe it was time to go home, that maybe it wasn't so safe to live in New York City, that Israel was the only safe refuge for Jews. Now, this is a point of view that most Americans don't know anything about Zionism at all, but it's called a view called catastrophic Zionism. Now, an Israeli scholar, Ehud Sprinzak, who's written about these hardline right-wingers, the Kahane types, the Likud people, they say that's a major school. He says it's a major school of modern American thought. And there is, in fact, a group in Israel today, some of these hardline right-wingers, who honor ancient Jews who conducted a systematic terror campaign against Jewish moderates who were ready to come to terms with the Romans on questions of religious purity. Another rabbi in Israel named Israel Ariel said that he was willing to risk massive loss of Jewish lives to achieve the elimination of the Arab countries to guarantee Israel's survival. This rabbi wrote, "There is a ruling that a war is permitted as long as no more than one-sixth of the nation be killed." That's one-sixth of the Israelis. And this was stated, he said, in relation to an ordinary war, a fight between neighbors. So I guess what we're saying here, folks, is the question, were they Israeli suicide bombers posing as Arabs on 9/11? You know, folks, despite all the theories of how 9/11 was carried out, that very simplistic question, that very simplistic scenario, that very simplistic theory, and that's all it is, obviously, folks, has never been explored. People have been too busy getting involved in trying to analyze all sorts of minutiae, all sorts of scientific things, all sorts of things that are just not quite within the reach of the average American. And I understand it's very, very popular. And, you know, I don't have doubts, personally, I don't have doubts that there were indeed, say, bombs in the bombs or explosives of some sort in the World Trade Center buildings. I don't have any doubt about that. But, you know, this aspect of who was on the planes is something that no one has ever really considered carefully. Now, you know, we do know that there was an American gentleman, an American businessman, whose name I believe was Lewin. I don't have that information handy in front of me. He was apparently an Israeli intelligence operative, a dual national, who was on that plane. Excuse me. And he was known to have been riding beside one of the so-called Arab hijackers. You know, the question can be raised, was he actually working for the Mossad on that venture? Maybe he himself didn't know that it was a suicide venture. Who knows? I don't know, folks. I'm just offering this out as a possibility. And you know, it's interesting. People say, oh, Israel would never commit suicide bombers. More on that. Suicide is a national policy of Israel, folks. That's exactly what I said. More about that when we come back. Israel's policy of national suicide. Stay tuned. Michael Collins, Piper, here on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Many of us have unhealthy habits that we've accumulated over the years. Often our bodies are crying out for the nutritional building blocks we require to stay young and strong, but we simply ignore the signs. Inner Health Botanicals, home of Inner Food, the revolutionary energy drink, and Nutra Cafe, the healthier coffee, offers natural and organic whole food supplements that are keys to optimum health. Our Inner Food formula delivers increased energy, incredible nutrition, and consistent use will support your immune system, greatly benefiting your health. Inner Health uses as many organic, wildcrafted whole foods and herbs as possible. Wholesome nutrition and a healthy immune system make a huge difference in your lifestyle. Heal yourself through whole foods and herbal nutrition. Visit Inner Health at innerfood.com. That's E-N-E-R-food.com. Or call 866-762-9238. Inner Health is your one-stop source for energy, nutrition, and health. Look for daily specials.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
KU Band Satellite is here. RBN is now offering a brand new way to hear your favorite programs. Listening to RBN via satellite is easy on the ears. Clean digital audio combined with consistently reliable reception anywhere in North America. KU utilizes a 30-inch dish and receiver similar to the equipment the subscription satellite TV services use. In fact, this satellite receiver also picks up a lot of television and music channel programming, even other talk radio networks. All of this with absolutely no monthly subscription fees, ever. Take advantage of our introductory offer and order your KU Dish receiver today for only $149 plus shipping and handling. And begin enjoying our highest quality audio available 365 days a year. Visit our website, www.rbnlive.com, for more information. Or call 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Clean, consistent, and affordable.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here, courtesy of Headaches Day Gone, the all-natural cure for headaches. It works. That's me talking, folks. I'm not reading some of their advertising literature. I'm telling you, it works. Check it out on the internet at headachesdaygone.com. Now, before we went to the break, and we do have a couple callers, we're going to bring them up here very shortly, talking about this concept of Israel being a suicide nation. We always hear about the Muslim suicide bombers, but what about hardline right-wing Israeli suicide bombers? Could they have been working on 911, could they have been the ones who were willing to end their lives in an effort to blame the 911 attacks on the Muslim world? I think it's a possibility. And you know, it's interesting, the late Winston Churchill himself said that there were two ancient peoples, the Greeks and the Jews, who suffered from a strong impulse of self-destruction. Now, that's very interesting. Self-destruction, that's suicide. And you know, the entire Israeli national security policy, particularly their atomic nuclear policy, which is the foundation of their national security policy, is based on what Seymour Hersh referred to in his book, The Samson Option, as precisely that, the Samson Option. Israel's entire national defense policy from its inception has been framed around the development of a nuclear bomb, and Hersh makes it very clear that the Israelis are essentially willing, if necessary, to blow up the world, including themselves, if they have to do so in order to defeat their enemies. Now, of course, the Samson Option is based on the story of Samson in the Bible, who brought down the temple in Gaza and killed himself along with his Philistine enemies. Well, the Philistines, you know, are the ancient ancestors of the modern-day Palestinian Arabs. So this Samson Option, national suicide, Hersh said, for Israel's nuclear advocates, the Samson Option became another way of saying never again. So is it possible that the hardliners in Israel, feeling that Israel was in danger, that the entire world was starting to come down on Israel because of their treatment of the Palestinians, because of the controversy surrounding the Second Intifada, the fact that the whole world was finally taking a real second look at Israel, is it possible that the Israelis decided that some drastic action had to be taken, that the whole world, particularly the United States, had to start focusing on Arab suicide bombers, and that, in fact, those suicide bombers on 911 were, in fact, Israelis posing as Arabs? Is it possible that the intermediaries who directed that operation, people like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who's supposed to be the mastermind of 911, and his nephew, Ramzi Youssef, the guys who were supposed to be responsible for the actual operation, for the funding of the operation, the middlemen, the guys who were supposedly directing the operations, is it possible that they weren't even Arabs themselves? Oh, you say that sounds crazy. Well, I want to tell you what. Years and years ago, long before 911, there were a lot of Arabs who were questioning whether Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, now known as the alleged mastermind of 911, supposedly working for Osama bin Laden. There were a lot of Arabs who doubted that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was really an Arab, and likewise his nephew, Ramzi Youssef. Very interesting. Some people suspect that he was really a Jew, an Israeli Jew perhaps, maybe a Jew from one of the Arab lands. There were, you know, even today, there's some question, even among those who say that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and Ramzi Youssef were Muslims, there's some who say, well, they were Pakistanis. Some say they were Iraqis. Some say they were Palestinians. The recent controversial movie on 911 referred to Ramzi Youssef, another one of these so-called middlemen, as being a Palestinian. Even CBS couldn't make up its own mind, folks. You see, that's the big secret of the whole thing here, that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is supposedly the real mastermind of 911, and yet he is also the guy who we've never seen since he was supposedly arrested after 911. He is the guy who's the primary source for all the information about the 911 conspiracy. If you bother to read the official 911 report, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is cited as a source for much of the details that the U.S. government has put out. Interesting, isn't it, folks? And I tell you what, I'm not going to bring it all out right now, but I've come across some further information which further lends credence to this. I'm digging into it a little bit further, and I don't want to go too far out on a limb, but suffice it to say, I really do believe that if we start looking at the 911 conspiracy, we will find that it is indeed just as I say, a Mossad operation, a cutout operation, a false flag operation. And that even if those guys on the planes were indeed Arabs, whether the real Arabs whose identities they were using or whether they were some other Arabs using stolen identities, that the operation was in fact being directed from behind the scenes by the Mossad. Again, you know, this takes away a lot of the glamour of all the theories about how the crime was carried out on 9-1-1, but you know what? It's a rather simple explanation that the average American can understand. It's complicated in and of itself, of course. I realize that because most Americans cannot conceive of this kind of trickery and intrigue, but it's a little bit easier to explain. You know, as I say, this whole Mossad connection, there are many elements to it. For example, the famous Al-Qaeda manual that was discovered after 9-1-1, or at least was talked about after 9-1-1. Do you know when it was first discovered? It was discovered after the first attack on the World Trade Center. It was found in the custody of one Ahmad Ajaj. And this is the Ahmad Ajaj, who I've mentioned on this program, who I've written about in American Free Press. And again, no one seems to pick up on this, folks. I don't know why. But Mr. Ajaj was identified by any Zionist writer, Robert Friedman, as an Israeli double agent inside the first conspiracy to hit the World Trade Center. So it was an Israeli agent, folks, who was carrying around the famed Al-Qaeda manual that we heard so much about after 9-1-1. These are funny little facts, folks, but when you put them all together, they do spell a very clear word, I think, in my mind. An unusual word, a controversial word, Mossad, M-O-S-S-A-D. All right, folks, just for you to think about. I know it isn't as glamorous as thermite bringing down the World Trade Center, or I don't know, Berlin had about five different versions of what brought down the World Trade Center. One time it was beam weapons, and it's thermite, and it's this, then it's that. I hope he makes up his mind to what really did bring it down. But in any case, there are other explanations, far more simple, that don't get the attention they deserve. And maybe that's the whole point. Well, let's go to the phones. We have Jim in Texas. Jim, come on up. Jim, are you there?
Am I on?
Jim, you're on.
Okay. Yeah, Mike, today I found some interesting things on the Internet. I stumbled across Zionpedia.org, and I watched the debate between Lady Michelle Renouf. I know you know who she is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Norman Finkelstein. And you talk about something to make you sick listening to Finkelstein's debate with her. I mean, she tore him to pieces.
Yeah, Michelle's a very articulate lady. She knows what she's talking about. I really should have her on this show sometime.
If at all possible. And also, I've seen Christopher Blinn's interview on CNN. I'm very good at finding these things. And Blinn looked like an idiot because he didn't explain anything. Or maybe they cut it up so bad that it didn't make any sense. I don't. You know how they do with that. They can edit something to make you look like a blithering idiot just because of their editing. So I won't go so far as to say that he is an idiot, although he's close. But, you know, it could have been on kind of the editing.
Yeah, I think, you know, in his defense, I have to say, I hate to defend him, but I do have to say that obviously the way the edited version of that came out, it deleted, I mean, 99% of what he said, but if you actually listen to the interview itself, a recording of it that has been posted on the Internet, you'll find that it's rather scrambled, and it's probably just as well for his sake that they didn't run the entire interview.
Yeah, it's more or less nonsensical the way they explained it, except for Paul Azan jumping in and saying what a complete idiot he was for even bringing up the subject. But to go back to your Jewish suicide people, the Jews have been at this since the late 1800s, the late 1885 in Russia, more or less suicide. You can't really call it a suicide attempt if they have any chance at all of getting away with it. because they blew up the Tsar of Russia. They were planting bombs. They killed several foreign ministers in 1885, 1887. 1905, after the end of the Russo-Japanese War, they planned another putsch, which they tried to get rid of the Tsar. But this is all old stuff. And not to mention that in 1935, they had a Jewish doctor. I think his name was Weitz. I don't know if it was Jaime Weitz or his first name, but his last name was Weitz. And he shot Huey Long, put up to by Roosevelt's communist buddies and Jewish buddies, because he was becoming an obstacle to Roosevelt's
Let me tell you something there about that Dr. Weitz. Actually, it was Carl Weitz.
Yeah.
You know something? I have been researching Carl Weitz's ancestry for a long, long time. And a lot of people have said he was Jewish. I'm not entirely, you know, it's funny. He looked very Jewish. The name Weitz is often Jewish. But to the best of my knowledge, he was a practicing Roman Catholic.
His religion, of
German parentage.
His religion makes no difference.
Well, I understand what you're saying.
We all know about the Brethren, they are either an ethnic group or a religion, and it depends on which you accuse them of. If you accuse them of being a religion, they're an ethnic group. If you accuse them of being an ethnic group, they're a religion. That's how they operate.
Well, you know, Jim, it's interesting, you know, because I tell you something, you know, this whole concept of a suicide bomber or suicide missions, you know, if you look back into Jewish history, we've all heard about Masada.
Yeah.
Masada.
Masada, yeah. On the mountain where the Jews committed suicide, more or less.
Exactly. And you know what another one of the great suicide missions was in Jewish history, according to the Book of Esther? When dear little Esther went before the king. Back in the Book of Esther, they were getting ready to kill Esther. She thought she was going to die. So you see, this whole concept of suicide in the Jewish religion to save the Jewish people is not really so far out of the ordinary.
It's not far-fetched at all, but before we get off, I have to congratulate you on last night's diatribe against our chosen brethren, and tonight's mostly diatribe against the chosen brethren, and why don't you just go ahead and paint a bullseye on your head, because you're...
Well,
you're,
it's already there.
yeah, I know, but you're making a bigger bullseye, because they're not going to tolerate this much longer.
I hope if they fire, they hit and put me out of my misery very quickly.
Well, it's not being put out of your misery, because people that seek the truth want the truth, no matter how ugly it is, over the most beautiful lie you can throw in front of them.
That's right.
That's a curse, more. It's not a blessing. It's a curse, as you well know, because...
Yeah, I should have been an accountant.
There's no profit in seeking the truth. Yeah, I mean, you can make gazillions seeking lies and putting up with lies. Look at our Congress and our whole governmental institute, you know. I mean, you can make a fortune if you're satisfied with lies. If you want to seek the truth.
I always said, Jim, that if I wanted to really be rich, what I'd do is take my book, Final Judgment, and say, no, I was wrong. The Arabs killed Kennedy, and Osama bin Laden was one of the gunmen in Dallas, you know?
Absolutely. You could have made a fortune, and you'd have been the toast of New York and the New York Money Men, which we know who we're talking about.
The New York Money Men. That's what General Wesley Clark called them,
You could have been Paul Azan or Wolf Blitzer or Tom Brokaw or Dan Rather or anybody else that's ever been on TV since TV ever came.
Well, Tom Brokaw and I both have a lisp. I guess at least I've gotten that far.
But I did want to comment on how good a job Lady Michelle Renouf done.
Yeah, she's very articulate.
Finkelstein made me sick. His whole argument was, which he says, we can't argue with those people. It's like arguing with the Flat Earth Society. Now, what kind of logic is that? In other words, if somebody gives me a fact, I'll call them a name. They give me another fact, I'll call them a different name. They give me another fact, I'll call them a different name. But I never, ever, ever say, well, no, here's a fact that disputes your fact. That's the Jewish argument system. And it works in the United States and throughout the Western world. Even though she is a very good arguer or debater, she never questioned, what kind of stupid arguments are you given? And his final argument, get this, was, my parents were both in Dachau or somewhere, and they lost 200,000 relatives, all of who are dead. And she said, well, wait a minute now, maybe they're not all dead. He said, well, where are they? Lima, Peru? Now, that's not an argument.
Exactly. Lady Michelle was one of the speakers at the conference in Iran.
I know that. Yeah.
And, you know, she, as far as I'm concerned, you know, there were like about 40 speakers there. I didn't hear them all. But of the ones that I heard, she was probably the one who put everything in the best perspective. So I'm glad to hear she's keeping up her very good style.
And she done, and it's on Zeopedia.org if you want to look it up. They got
That's
it on
a good
there,
website.
And they got the debate. And I don't know how I found it. I just stumbled across it, and I seen that debate. And once I seen her name, because I've listened to her before, and I know how brilliant she is. She's a very brilliant woman. And anyway, I'm looking at it as we speak. Dr. Norman Finkelstein and Lady Michelle Renouf TV debate on the International Conference in Tehran, which you're very, very well aware of.
He was, it's interesting, he was supposed to come to that conference.
Yeah, he was invited. She asked him, you were invited, why didn't you come? Well, I'm not going to come and debate the Flat Earth Society, he says. Watch this, it'll make you sick. And
hey, Jim, we have the break coming up. Hang on for the break,
sure.
If you would.
Sure.
All right, this is Michael Collins Piper. We're wrapping up the hour and the week. Stay tuned for our closing comment. We have Jim from Texas aboard.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jobs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all-natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
All right, folks, I hope you heard that commercial and listened very carefully. I'll just say it again. Headaches Stay Gone. Check it out on the internet at headachestaygone.com. Well, we're wrapping up the hour here. We have Jim aboard. Jim, I'd like to ask you a question. I've talked to you enough on the air to see that you're pretty pretty well-rounded and pretty well-informed. You obviously do a lot of research, but I'd like to ask you, how long ago and how did you first come to recognize these problems surrounding what we're talking about here tonight and other nights on this program?
1959 in Germany.
Okay.
I was in the Army, and I'd read all of the American history that I could. I've always been a history buff. And I get over there, and I talk to the Germans, and I see what went on there, and I realized there's something rotten in Denmark, not to throw in a third country, so to speak. But I need to add that one of Finkelstein's main arguments was that he would be willing to go to any conference that was serious. And when they asked him what he meant by serious, he said, where we had serious scholars. And his serious scholars were, of course, Deborah Lipstadt. And what was the guy's name in the Ernst Zundel trial, the guy that wrote The Destruction of European Jews?
Raoul Hilberg.
That's him. He said, we need people like that to testify, to present their case. Raoul Hilberg, they made a fool of him in the Zundel trial.
That's exactly right.
He was a whimpering, simpering idiot before he got off the stand in the Zundel trial. And this is Finkelstein, which it all goes back to, I'd have no confidence of anybody that's an apologist for the Jews, because it always comes down to the same thing. This is not serious. You're a flat earth society. We need real experts. And whose experts are they going to get? Their own experts.
Well, that's how it's always done. You know, I mean, this
Absolutely.
Is the thing. You know, there's only one side to be debated. And then what they do is they give you several shades
of that
point of view to give you the theory that there is some debate going on.
Yeah, because Finkelstein's supposed to be a critic of the Holocaust. He calls it in his industry, but he swears that the whole thing happened. Absolutely. He swore today. I mean, I seen it today. He swore that, yes, there was between 5 and 6 million Jews that were slaughtered in gas chambers. And you know, that's not a person with an objectivity of any sort whatsoever.
Yeah, he's made that clear from the very beginning. A lot of people misunderstood where he was coming from, but he still holds up the standard story that is, you know, that is writ in stone, you know.
Yes, and absolutely. It's the only new religion in the last 2,000 years is Holocaustianity.
Or maybe I should say writ in Stein in this case.
Absolutely.
So basically that's how you came around yourself. You went to Germany in this military.
In the military, a young fellow, 18 years old. And I went there, and all the stuff I'd read, and I read exclusively about history because it's always been my main subject, and I went over there and said, what I've read and what I see doesn't make sense. So it's the old saying of don't listen to what I say, watch what I do, and that's how I became aware of it.
You know, that's very interesting you tell me that, because my late uncle had a very similar experience. He went over there he went to Europe as a young man in the U.S. military I think he was in the Army Air Corps, but in any case, he was there at the end of the war,
right.
And he had a very similar experiences as you had, and he came back questioning authority.
Something either makes sense or it doesn't, Mike.
That's the way it goes.
That's the way I always live my whole life. It either makes sense or it doesn't.
That's the way to look at it. Jim, thanks for your call. Mm-hmm. Always enjoy talking to you. All right, folks, we're wrapping it up here for the evening. Apologies to those we couldn't bring up, but we'll be here next week, God willing. Keep up your support for the Republic Broadcasting Network. You need RBN. You know why you need RBN, because you can handle the truth. Now for some more good truth, stay tuned for Rick Adams. Have a good weekend, folks. If you get a headache, try Headache Stay Gone.